but I love to win. I had an older sister and a younger brother, and my older sister was always taller than me. She still is taller than me. She's 6'3". My brother was shorter than me until I was about 12 years old. He was about 8 years old, and we got to be the same height. Now he's 6'6". But we'd play basketball, and I'm happy to tell you, I would often beat my siblings, and I would let them know it too. I had this one move. I would back my sister down, fake to my left, and then turn around and go to my right, which became my left, and often got it. And she would relish in blocking my shot. So if you've ever had a sibling, you know what it's like to feel the victory of beating your sibling, because they're the ultimate evil, right? Our culture loves to win. And I've learned to become content with losing. That's just part of the maturing process. And it's those who hate losing who are immature, because we know that losing is part of life. But even if we lose, we'll go down fighting, giving it our all. And we're inspired by the great matches between two champions, aren't we? Especially, we love it in March Madness when a Cinderella team upsets a big powerhouse like Duke, but we really love it when two powerhouses go at it like North Carolina and Kansas in this past championship game in April. Sorry, I just love basketball. I'm going to move on from that. But history and reputation on the line, who will be the victor? Now, we don't want to see weaklings going against each other. What kind of championship would it be if it was people we didn't even know about? But we want the best of the best. But the best matches are when the strongest man goes against the other strong man. And that's really the heart of the Easter story. Jesus, who is the strongest man, binds up the strong man and takes away his goods. And we are his goods. We are held hostage by Satan. And Jesus breaks down the door like Rambo and throws down and releases all of the captives. Jesus is the victor. And my professor of preaching at seminary, Ellsworth Callis, was 90 years old. He would drive down these winding Kentucky roads, and I would see him driving thinking, oh my goodness, he's going to get into a car accident. But never did he do it. He was always a good driver. 90 years old, he'd walk into the room, he'd stand there in his suit and tie and give us a wonderful teaching. And he always said this: there is no story but good versus evil. There's no other story but good versus evil. Or he said, there may be no other good story, but any good story has good versus evil. And this is what the Easter story is. Jesus, the ultimate good, going against Satan, the ultimate evil, the one who is in rebellion. Jesus is the righteous, sinless, blameless, fully God, fully human. He's the God in human flesh. He's the light of the world, the bread of life, the great I am, the way, the truth, and the life, the vine, the gate, the good shepherd. He's the resurrection and the life, and he's going up against Satan, which means deceiver, liar, the evil one, the rebellious one, the snake, the unholy, the uncreative. He takes what is good and he distorts it. And he destroys and he brings death. The Word of God existed before the creation of the world. Jesus always was, always is, and always will be the Son of God. He became flesh and made his dwelling place among us. He came to that which was his own, and his own did not receive him. And even though he healed the sick and gave sight to the blind and made the lame walk and raised the dead, many rejected him. And still many reject him today. He came to be one with God the Father. He claimed to be one with God the Father. And he made the religious leaders angry. So they plotted to kill him. They arrested him and mocked him and humiliated him, violated and mutilated him, hung him on a cross to die. Humanity in its own sinfulness murdered God, the God who loved them so much that he came to save them. And Satan wasn't the only one who wanted to defeat the God Almighty, but even humankind wanted God dead. We wanted to be God. They didn't want to receive him and submit to him, so they got rid of him. You know that Jesus didn't come to win by force. He didn't come to flex his muscles and overpower us. He came to win by losing. He laid down his own life. He came to die. But it's in his death that he defeated death. Do you know the origin of death? Death came through the sin of humanity. God created humanity in his own image and likeness. He made them male and female. And he put them in a garden to work it and tend to it and care for it. Adam and Eve had everything. They had abundant life because they were in perfect relationship with God. And yet they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and ate from the tree in the middle of the garden called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the result of their choice to decide for themselves what was good and evil, the result was death. Therefore, sin entered every human, and every human that was marked with the curse of death. Everyone who walked through these doors this morning is marked with the curse of death. And sometimes you probably think a lot about it. Sometimes it probably doesn't even cross your mind. Death is the door that we likely will enter through unless Christ returns. No one can escape it. No one ever has. That may be a wake-up call for you this morning. Maybe not. As the first humanity was formed in the garden, so the new humanity appeared in a garden. The Gospel of John tells a story that the woman Mary Magdalene came to the tomb. She found it empty and she was frightened and she began weeping. And then there was a voice that said, "Why are you crying? Why are you weeping?" And she said, "They've taken the Lord." And then she asked, thinking that he was the gardener who was speaking, "Show me where you've laid him." And then the one who was there with her said her name, Mary. And then she realized it was the Lord. She fell at his feet and worshiped him and hung on to him so much so that she was probably hurting him, pinching him, grabbing him. And he said, "You can't, you have to let me go. You're hurting me." No, she didn't say that. "You have to let me go." God is the gardener walking in the cool of the day, and we hid from him. And here he is, not the gardener of this specific garden, but the gardener who gives life to the world, has come, risen from the dead, and victorious over sin and death for us. Maybe Jesus was wearing boots and overalls, I don't know. God cares for his people, and here he cares for us by defeating death for us. And this time, the broken humanity was not hiding from God, but now humanity is kind of searching for God. Where is he? Let me find him. She was looking in the wrong place. We're bad at hiding, we're also bad at seeking. And Mary Magdalene, a representative of the broken humanity and defeated humanity, is sad because she can't find the dead body of Jesus until he speaks to her and calls her by name. Really, that's all of our story. We can never find life, true life, unless we hear the one who knows us call us by name. And he says, "Surprise, here I am. I'm not dead. I've risen from the dead victoriously for you, and I've defeated death for you." Adam died. Christ died, but he lives. He rose. We die, and we only rise because Christ lives. Aren't you glad that Christ shares his victory with us? Look at this passage, Romans 5:17-21. For if by the trespass of one man, that's Adam, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Which man do you want? Do you want Adam or do you want Jesus? The second Adam. I'll take the second Adam. Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, that's the one in the Garden of Eden, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. That's Christ on the cross, dying for you and for me. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners. We all have sinned. We've all fallen short of God's glory. No one is excluded from that. So also, through the obedience of one man, the many will be made righteous. Is there any human who cannot be made righteous if they have faith in Christ? Even the worst of sinners. Even you, even me. If we have faith in Christ, we can be made righteous. The law was added so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. You mean there's no amount of sin in my life that I can do to separate myself completely from the love of God? Yes, sin will separate you from Christ, but His grace can save you, even you. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through the righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's a good word. This is called the great reversal. What no one was capable of doing, Christ did. What no one was qualified to do, Christ did. Could you save yourself? Could you forgive your sins? Could you conquer death for you or for anybody else? Can you save your children, your grandchildren? Can you save your neighbor? You can love them, but you can't save them. Where everyone else is powerless, Christ displayed His power. And where everyone was defeated, Christ was victorious. He's the victor. And the wonderful thing is that He lets us share in this victory. Kansas won the national championship a couple weeks ago. Do you think that the championship team would allow me to come in and take the team photo with them and have my name up on the wall of champion? No. Not even the biggest Kansas fan would let them do that. They would let him do that. They'll let you buy an identical t-shirt. They'll let you come to the parade and they'll let you share in their glory from a distance, but you are not a champion. Only they are. It's just an illusion of victory if your team wins. Jerry Seinfeld famously says, you're just cheering for laundry. That's what it all comes down to. All these players, they go to different teams or they transfer to different teams. In the end, it's just laundry. But with Jesus' victory, it's not an illusion. You're not just cheering for laundry. You participate in the resurrection from the dead. That's huge. That's huge. He doesn't just give you warm fuzzies. He gives you the real experience. He lets you experience what it's like to be victorious over death. We don't know what it's like yet. We only have a glimpse of it, the first fruits of it in Christ. But we will experience it. I want to get in on that action, don't you? I've had a few relatives die. I asked you earlier, raise your hand if you've had anyone you've loved die in the last year, but raise your hand if you've had anyone that you love die in your last 20 years. All of us. I've had two grandfathers pass away, one from an aortic aneurysm, one from respiratory issues in old age. I've had one grandmother die of pancreatic cancer. I've had one uncle die from a tragic car accident when he was coming home from work. In the next decade, I'm sure I'll have more. There was a young family in Michigan. This happened years ago. I knew their family. I didn't know them specifically. But as a family, they were traveling. She and her husband were expecting a little girl. They were sitting in the back seat, and his parents were driving up front. They were on I-94, and the roads were icy. A huge semi-truck was coming, approaching this traffic jam where everyone had stopped, and the driver of the truck slammed on the brakes and slammed on the brakes as hard as he could, but his truck kept sliding and sliding and sliding and rammed into the back of the vehicle. A huge accident. 3 of them were okay, shaken up, but the mother who was carrying the child was severely injured and she was unconscious. The unborn baby, who was due in just a few weeks, lost oxygen immediately because her mother wasn't breathing. And they did an emergency delivery right on the site of the crash. And the mother was transferred to the hospital where she died. The little girl was not doing well. Her brain was unresponsive. She could only live by the assistance of a machine. And the little girl died a few days later. She died in the arms of her dad. So there was the husband, his beloved wife of 11 years was gone, and his first daughter was gone as well. That tragedy, that type of tragedy, is not foreign to us. Tragedy happens daily across the earth. And some would say the story of humanity is a tragedy. Nothing but sorrow, nothing but pain. I want to tell you, if Christ is not risen from the dead, then it's only a tragedy. People who deny the risen Christ live in a tragic story. But not us. Not the people of the resurrection. Life doesn't end in tragedy. Life ends in glory. Yes. With hope. We can walk through this life where death is beneath our feet, and we give a message of hope. And the message is this: Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. He lets us win with him. And we get to experience the victory over sin and death. We get to laugh in the face of death once we've been raised from the dead. And I can't wait until that day where I wake up from the grave seeing Jesus riding on the clouds. I have no clue what that's going to be like. Coming for his pure bride. And I get to share in his victory and participate in the choir of the new humanity, singing over creation resurrection songs and anthems. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Because we know that our hope, our life, our joy is in the resurrected King. Jesus, we come before you. We bless your holy name. Thank you for giving us hope. Lord, we've experienced a lot of tragedy recently. Our world has. We need the Easter message of resurrection, of life, of forgiveness of sins, of reconciliation to the Father and to each other, of justice and mercy, of grace abundant. It's only in you, Jesus. Lord, would you rescue us? Deliver us. And Lord, deliver our neighbors. Let us be good news people to them, sharing them the wonderful news of Jesus Christ, so that life doesn't have to be tragic, but life can have an end purpose of resurrection. You are the resurrection of the life, Jesus, and we love you. We thank you today. Amen.